This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ويسر لي أمري وأحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome to Juz a Day. Today we are doing or studying the 29th Juz of the Quran, and that is the second last Juz. The last Juz is the 30th Juz, which will be tomorrow. This is a bittersweet moment, of course, because sweet because we're about to finish our brief study of the Quran, but bitter because we're about to finish our brief study of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, the study of the Quran is something that it's an ongoing process. It's a journey. It's not something that should be, it's not something that's like a course you take to acquire a skill and then you've acquired it. It's actually a continuous process that allows us to come to terms with ourselves and the reality that we live in through the guidance of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My hope is that this is going to be like a start for you, inshallah, and not like the end. That's how I would frame it for the study of the Quran. Also, something important is that tomorrow, inshallah, we will have a slightly extended session until 7:30, or just before 7:30 will end. We have two very special guests. Guest number one is Dr. Amin Al-Ali, who is the Imam of London Muslim Mosque, the mosque where I'm at as well. And he will be joining us towards the very end of the program to say a few words, to make dua for us. And it's the sunnah of the some of the Sahaba who would... at the conclusion of the study of the Quran, they would make a dua to that Allah blesses them with more goodness, and the good deed that they have done is like a way for the acceptance of dua. The second guest that we have is very special guest, Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim, who will be joining us all the way from Perth, he will be joining us obviously like the rest of us are doing via Zoom. He will drop in at a time, maybe in the middle of the class, like 6:30 or something, depending, because it's exactly, if it's 6 p.m. here, it's 6 a.m. there, right? So he's going to drop in at a point, and I'm going to pause what I'm saying when he comes in, and I'll turn the session over to him, and he'll say a few words. Sheikh Yahya, his book has been very instrumental in helping me prepare for this study, and has provided me with some ideas and some inspiration. So it was really fitting to invite him, and I'm really honored that he accepted joining. He's a really busy man who has a lot of teaching and a lot of activity that he's engaged in, and for him to make time, and it means a lot, alhamdulillah. So those are some two things for tomorrow, and it's exciting, inshallah, for that. But today we have the 29 Juz. Let's get to it. Sister Faiza Wayaki, thank you for the kind words. We will, inshallah ta'ala, try to do something after Ramadan as well. I think there is some, I think the opportunity and the appetite is there. And frankly, for me, I really enjoyed this whole thing, because I really learned a lot, benefited a lot. And we will, I think, inshallah, continue this afterwards as well. Ya Rabbi, absolutely. We hope so too, Dr. Ahmed. The book that Sajj Bhaji is asking about is called A Juz a Day by Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim. You can purchase that off of Kindle or Google Books. It's an excellent book to give you a summary of the Juz, very similar to what I'm doing. I go into a bit more detail because we have a little bit more time. That book is a little bit more summarized, but it's a fantastic work to have in your home to read as well. The recording is there. Yes, alhamdulillah, the recording remains on the Facebook page. The recording also is on the YouTube channel. So it's there. These resources are there for you to access afterwards as well. There's also actually an audio version of this on Muslim Central. If you go there, the whole audio Juz by Juz is there. So if you like to just listen to it, if you're driving, whenever you're allowed to drive, you can do that as well. All that is there. But we will definitely try our best to continue something for sure. With all that said, let us get started today. The 29th Juz of the Quran starts with Surah Al-Mulk. Surah Al-Mulk starts with this beautiful statement of Allah, in which he says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Blessed is he in whose hand is the kingdom, and he has power over all things, over all matters. Surah Mulk is the beginning part of this juz. This juz includes the following surahs, as you can see. Surah Mulk, Qalam, Al-Haqqah, Al-Ma'arij, Surah Nuh, Surah Al-Jinn, Al-Muzzammil, Al-Muddathir, Qiyamah, Al-Insan, Al-Mursalat. Lots of surahs here. And the last juz has even more surahs. The two really major themes of the 29 juz and also the 30th juz, frankly, that both of them are like the 29 and 30 juz is one large collection of very, very important surahs that all share very similar styles and themes. And there's a real wisdom in how the Quran starts with something that's like a longer passage, the long surahs, and then concludes with like a short passage. It's almost like if you're running out of attention to like, if you're running out of steam at the end of your study, the short bursts of reminders will definitely energize you and re-engage you. You're fresher in the beginning of the study, so the study is longer. Towards the end, maybe you're a little exhausted, so the surahs are shorter and they're more powerful. They're more direct. They pull at the strings of a person's heart because the way they are, the topics that they cover. So it's a really interesting and really beautiful way how the Quran ends. It's like it ends with a bang. You know, the last surahs are like that. Surah Al-Mulk and this whole juz has these two major themes, the hereafter and to invite the others. The hereafter is imminent. It's coming. There's no doubt about it. And invite others to the cause of Allah. Surah Al-Mulk speaks about the majesty and the power of Allah. And that's what the first ayah says. تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ. Blessed is he in whose hand is the kingdom. The one who created death and life so that he may test you and find out which of you is best in conduct. He is the mighty, the forgiving. Idea of creation and resurrection is together, as you might have noticed. Again, the idea that Allah has created us in this life to test us and the results of that test will come after death. That is ingrained. And that is something that the Quran emphasizes time and time again, that this is something we should not forget. The hereafter is imminent. The surah, by the way, the Prophet ﷺ has told us this is a surah we should read before going to bed. This is a surah that in an authentic hadith, he says that the one who reads it, they will be saved from the punishment of the grave. The one who reads this, the surah will come on the Day of Judgment and intercede on their behalf. The surah will be given, like, you know, it will turn from like words on a piece of paper into like a, you know, something that speaks. And what that looks like, Allah knows best. But it will be something, it will plead with Allah that, oh Allah, this is a person who would read me and he committed it himself or herself to me. So don't commit them to the fire of hell. And that is an incredible, this is an authentic narration. And that's an incredible incentive for us. We should try to do this every single night. The surah speaks about the hereafter. And it speaks about those who are going to hell. And it's a very interesting passage. In fact, it's one of the most powerful passages of the Quran. وَلِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمُ. Those who are bent on blaspheming against their Lord will have the punishment of hell and evil destination. That's quite an extravagant translation. Better translation is, kafaru is the one who is rejected. The one who's rejected, the ones who reject their Lord, who have disbelieved and rejected their Lord. For them, there is the punishment of hell, and that is an evil destination. What happens? What happens when that, you know, becomes a reality? We ask Allah to protect us from that. إِذَا أُلْقُوا فِيهَا, when they are cast into it. سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا وَهِيَ تَفُورُ, they will hear its roaring as it boils up. تَكَادُ تَمَيَّزُ مِنَ الْغَيْظِ, as though bursting with rage. This is before their entry, as they're being led to the fire of hell, as they are tossed inside the fire and they're tumbling through, they would hear shahiqan, this howling roar of the fire, and as if it's about to burst with rage. It's as if it's like a monster that's about to devour its prey. So the fire of hell is not just a fire that is, you know, just flames. It is out to get the ones who are in it. It's out to hurt them. And it's got this deep growling sound. It's got fury. It's got anger. It's bursting with rage. We ask Allah to protect us from that. What happens before these people enter the hellfire? Each time a group is cast into it, its keepers will ask them, أَلَمْ يَأْتِكُمْ نَذِيرٌ, did no warner come to you? They will say, of course, بَلَى, yes, a warner came to us. قَدْ جَاءَنَا نَذِيرٌ, a warner came to us. فَكَذَّبْنَا, but we belied him, i.e. we said, you are lying. Or we said, this whole idea of religion is a lie. This thing is false. وَقُلْنَا مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, God has revealed nothing. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ, you are in gross error. Meaning, either we said, we believe that there was a God, but the God is not really, has nothing to do with the world. مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, you know, there's no, like, we're just free to do whatever we want. Yes, there's like a prime mover that brought the world into existence. But after that, we're left on our own, with our own agency, okay? Or these people are saying, مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, they're mocking the idea of God. Like, yeah, God revealed this. مَا نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, nothing was revealed by God. إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ضَلَالٍ كَبِيرٍ, both of those are included here. It's really interesting. It shows that the ones who's rejecting this 100% knew what they were rejecting. This was not like accidental. It was not just because where they're born. This is a person who flat out rejected the message. Okay, and then they would say, if we had only listened and understood, we would not be the inmates of the fire of hell. If we had only paid attention, if we had only thought, na'qil, if we had only thought, we would not be here today. This is also an interesting expression, because sometimes, especially in society today, where religion has been made it's like the black sheep. It's like something that no one wants it. No one wants to touch it. You know, kids who grow up wouldn't want anything to do with it. That's how it's cast. It's cast as backwards. It's cast as, you know, a frivolous endeavor. It's cast as whatever, something that makes you do irrational things. And people, if they were to accept that narrative, who's to blame? Themselves. نَسْمَعُ نَعْقِلُ, if we'd only like heard what was being said, if we'd only paid some attention and thought for ourselves, we won't be here. فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ, and thus they will confess their sin. فَسُحْقًا لِأَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ, far away from God's mercy are the inmates of hell. This ayah tells you, فَاعْتَرَفُوا بِذَنْبِهِمْ, it absolutely clear-cut states that the one who goes to the fire of hell will confess their sin. They will say, and they will know they belong there. No one will go to the fire of hell thinking, I didn't belong here, this was a mistake, oh God. No one's going to be like that. This is explicit and clear in the Quran. We should have no doubts about that. Now, how do we know a person has rejected the faith? How do we know a person received the message? That is a matter of judgment that is left to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given us a baseline, which is our fitrah, our innate disposition. That is something that's in our souls. And then Allah has given us rationality, our minds. He's given us the tools and faculties of hearing and listening, faculty of hearing, listening, the faculty of seeing and observing. All of these He's given us, and that together forms the basis of a person's test. And a person's test is different from time, place, time to time. The one who was born in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ is right there, their test is different because they see a Prophet of Allah. The one who was born or lived in the time of the Prophet and rejected the Prophet, that person has received a message far with far more clarity than anybody else has. So it's factored in how much is the message, how much of the message was received, but the reality remains. All of that is Allah's judgment. He judges who got what and who suppressed what and who followed what. That is 100% Allah's judgment, because He knows exactly our inner workings. What is undoubtedly clear in the Quran is they will confess their sins. Everybody going to the fire hell would accept and would confess that they belong in the fire hell. No one would say this was a mistake. And that is, that completely addresses the root cause of the problem of people who would say, oh, how can God punish somebody eternally or this and that? Well, this ayah tells you, this person is not going to the fire of hell until and unless they had the faculties, had access to the information, and then rejected it. Okay? And then they confess that, yes, we were wrong and we belong here. So it destroys that premise completely. We ask Allah to give us understanding, and we ask Allah to protect us from this situation. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Of course, when Allah mentions the fire of hell, He also mentions the ones who are in paradise. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَيْبِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ كَبِيرٌ. Those who fear the Lord in the unseen will have forgiveness and a rich reward. And whether you speak in secret or aloud, He knows what is in every heart. How could He who created not know His own creation? أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ. That's a rhetorical question, a very beautiful one. How can the one who created not know the one He created? The idea is, of course, He knows. He knows really well. He knows us intimately. وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. He is the most subtle in His wisdom, the all-aware. Latif is actually someone who knows us intimately. Khabir, very well. Like, He knows our internal workings. Latif, He knows our external, appearances and our actions. Al-Khabir, Latif is our thoughts and our, what's the decision-making that we do within us. Without verbalizing, Al-Khabir is what we verbalize and what we say. So there's a beautiful symmetry there in that name, that He knows us really, really well. Of course, Allah says, invite people to Allah. Invite using His signs. Invite using His signs. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَفَّاتٍ. Do they not see the birds above them spreading and closing their wings? None save the merciful sustains them. Surely He observes all things. And again, this is still... not there. This is still a mystery. How birds remain, airborne. This is still a mystery that we are not fully aware of. But subhanAllah, Allah says this is actually something, and He highlights that this is the mercy of the Most Merciful that allows them to be airborne. There are sides of Allah that are logical. He says, "Look, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ." Or excuse me, أَمَّنْ هَذَا الَّذِي أَمَّنْ هَذَا. These are questions that are asked, that make you think. And then the thinking here is, who is there to defend you like an army besides the Lord of Mercy? Okay, if Allah wants to take you down, is there anybody who could help you? If Allah decides to withhold something, if Allah shuts a door on you, is there anybody who can really open that door? This is the question. And these are questions that are asked that a person with experience, with lived life, they can answer that definitely. If Allah has shut a door, khalas, there's no way, no one's opening that one, right? If Allah has decreed that to happen, nothing is going against that decree. And this is, again, an appeal to logic and an appeal to also emotion. Emotion that, look, Allah has given you all this that you have. The faculty of hearing, the faculty of seeing, the hearts here, al-af'ida, the faculty of reasoning, the ability to use emotion and logic together, af'ida, the synthesis of that is al-af'ida. قَلِيلًا مَّا تَشْكُرُونَ. These are complex things. Allah has given this to you, yet you are seldom grateful. And these are given for us to use to understand our purpose. قُلْ هُوَ الَّذِي ذَرَأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. It is He who scattered you on the earth, and to Him you shall be gathered on the Day of Judgment. So these are beautiful ways that Allah invites. Logically, look here, think about this. Be grateful to the one who's given you all these things, an incredible way to invite. And of course, with the punishment of the hereafter mentioned, the urgency is pressed in front of us, that this is an urgent matter. Don't delay it for too long. Surah Al-Qalam, which is the next surah, surah number 68, also known as Surah Noon, because it has Noon here in the beginning. Noon wal-qalami wa ma yasturun. Noon by the pen and all that they write. This surah, Al-Qalam, is the second surah revealed after Al-Alaq. The first surah revealed to the Prophet ﷺ was Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, which we'll cover tomorrow, inshallah. This is the second one that was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ. And Al-Qalam was the pen. The pen. What is the pen? The pen is a reference to two things here. The first is it's a reference to the very first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, which is the pen, right? The Prophet ﷺ said that inna awwala ma khalaq Allahu al-qalam fa qala lahu uktub fa qala ya rabbi wa ma aktubu qala uktub al-qadara qala fajjara al-qalamu fi tilka as-sa'a bima kana wa ma huwa ka'idun ila al-abad. The first thing that Allah created was the pen, and He told the pen, write. The pen asked Allah, what do I write, O my Lord? Allah said, write the destiny of people. So the pen wrote all that is going to happen from that time till the end of time. Of course, the pen is writing here. The expression, the implication of this expression is Allah, it is Allah's destiny. It is Allah's decree that the pen is writing. But the creation of the pen was the first thing that Allah created. And that is the first possibility of what Al-Qalam here is. And that is a beautiful possibility, because مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, you are destined to be a prophet, O Allah. You are not, it's not a mistake. It's not like something's gone wrong. You are destined to be Allah's prophet, the last prophet. You have not gone crazy. You are going to have an endless reward. You are of a truly sublime character. Okay? You deserve this. You are made for this. You are the one who is the prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it's interesting that Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala is telling this to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because this is the second surah that's revealed. And he's kind of like, you know, as you can imagine, as a human being, you would be, there's a whole host of emotions that are going through. So it's so reassuring that Allah is saying to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are destined to be the prophet of Allah. You are it. You are the one, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The other possibility of Al-Qalam is the pen that is the instrument of writing, and how people write with it to acquire knowledge. And this is a beautiful, there's a beautiful symmetry here between the first and the second surah. The first is Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Second is Noon wal Qalam. Iqra is read. Second is write. Subhanallah. That's the process of acquiring knowledge and learning. And that is what our religion, values very highly. Acquiring knowledge and learning about all things, but specifically acquiring knowledge and learning about the tenets of our faith and the message, particularly of the Quran. These are important things, and it's a very nice, symmetry there. And both possibilities can exist at the same time, as is the case here. Okay, the Prophet ﷺ is destined to be a prophet. Then Allah says, be patient, O Prophet of Allah. This is not going to be easy though. This is not going to be easy. فَلَا تُطِعِ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Don't yield to the deniers of the truth. You're going to be influenced by them. Don't be influenced by them. Just, they will want you to make some concessions. Don't make concessions, particularly in the tenets of the faith. Concessions are made like the Prophet ﷺ made a concession when he was signing a peace treaty. Okay, that's just, you know, smart, wise, you know, that's wisdom. That's acting in a very smart way. But on the tenets of our faith, there is no compromise. The people of Makkah actually said to the Prophet ﷺ, hey, how about you worship Allah, or we all worship Allah one day, no idols, and then the next day we all worship our own gods. And then the third day, we go back to worshiping Allah. And then the fourth day, we go back to worshiping idols. How's that for a deal? Okay? Like, one day of every two, no idol worship, only worshiping Allah. And the other day, we're all free to do whatever we want. We're not even forcing you to worship our idols. You can still worship Allah. That was the deal they offered to the Prophet ﷺ. You know, imagine if this was offered to like us. Hey, one day, everything goes by the law of the Quran and Sunnah. Sharia law is implemented on one day, and the normal conventional law is implemented in the second day. Just as an example, I'm telling you this, right? The Prophet ﷺ did not accept that. He said, no, I will not condone worshipping of idols. وَدُّوا لَوْ تُدْهِنُوا فَيُدْهِنُونَ On the tenets of faith, there is no compromise. But, you know, for matters of policy and, you know, decision-making and choices, yes, there is compromise, and the Prophet ﷺ made that. But the core, absolutely not. وَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ Don't yield to any contemptible swearer of oaths. Here again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet ﷺ, be watchful of the influence of people who can mislead you and could pressure you into making wrong decisions. Don't be like that. And that's a lesson for us. You know, we shouldn't be, we should be very careful of the influences that we have in our lives, because that very, very frequently will determine how we lead our lives and what choices we make. The influences and the pressure that they put on us, it's a real thing. This has a story of the Ashab al-Jannah, the people of the garden. These were people that Allah doesn't mention who exactly they were, but they are very fickle, very short-sighted, extremely, almost like they're foolish actually. And what's interesting is that they thought that they had a garden, they wanted to go to their garden to harvest the fruit, but they didn't want to give anything to like the poor people. So they're like, you know what, let's go to our gardens in the morning. Then fatanadaw musbihin, and then don't let any poor person enter today. Okay, don't share any of your wealth with anybody today. But little did they know, the night before, their garden was destroyed by a storm. So when they came upon their garden, they're like, wait, where is our garden? We've lost our way. This is not our garden. But then they realize, oh, this is actually it, but it has been destroyed. And then there was actually a good person there. And he's like, hey, didn't I tell you we should be glorifying God and saying inshallah and sharing and doing all the good stuff? But at that time, it was too late. Subhana rabbina inna kunna zalimeen. And of course, they also blamed each other. They started to blame each other. It's your fault. It's your fault. What this story shows in the middle of this whole thing is that, oh, the Prophet, your job is to be patient. And your job is to not give up. Don't be like these fickle people. Don't be like people who, when good is happening, they want to keep it all to themselves, don't want to share any of it with anybody. And when something bad happens, they're like, what? How could it happen to me? And then started blaming others for their mistakes or blaming others for what befell them. Don't be like that. That's not actually somebody who is wise. That's not somebody who is a role model in any way. That is what one of the reasons, one of the wisdoms of that is there. And then Allah describes a scene from the Day of Judgment where He says, "Yawma yukshafu an saq wa yud'auna ila sujudi fala yastati'un." On the day when, now this is an interpretation by the translator here, the meaning of the word saq is actually shin. When the day when a shin is laid bare and they are called to make sajda, then they would not be able to do so. What does this ayah refer to? Its ayah is referring to two things. Yukshafu an saq is an expression, according to Abdullah ibn Abbas, which means wa yawmu karbin wa shidda, the day of devastating terror. It's in like a lot of fear and anxiety. That's the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call people to make sajda, and the disbelievers will not be able to do so, but the believers will be able to do so. Okay, that's one interpretation. The other one is that on its apparent meaning is actually, there's a hadith about this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a shin that is befitting to him, not like the human shin. It doesn't look like it. It's not shaped like it. It is befitting to him. And these are attributes of Allah that we don't question how they are. We affirm them as they are, without being consumed by the reality of it. Okay, so this is actually a hadith that يُكْشَفُ رَبُّنَا عَنْ سَاقِهِ فَيَسْجُدُ لَهُ كُلُّ مُؤْمِنٍ وَمُؤْمِنَةٍ وَيَبْقَى مَنْ كَانَ يَسْجُدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا رِيَاءَ وَالسُّمْعَةَ فَيَذْهَبُ لِيَسْجُدُ فَيَعُودُ ظَهْرُهُ طَبَقًا وَاحِدًا. This hadith talks about on the Day of Judgment when this Allah lays his shin bare, the believers will be told to make sajda. The disbelievers can't do it in the first place, but all believers will be able to do so. But the one who was doing sajda and practicing their faith out of pretentiousness, showing off, they won't be able to. And their back would be like a stiff, like one stiff piece. And that would be a humiliation for them, that their life's work that was done just to, you know, keep up appearances and just out of pretentiousness is all lost on that day. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ فَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ. They will be called to prostrate themselves, but they won't be able to do so. So that is that. And unfortunately, what will happen to these people is خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ. Then there will be a shame and regret. Their eyes will be cast down and they will be covered in shame. They were bidden to prostrate themselves when they were safe and sound. وَكَانُوا يُدَعُونَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ. They were asked to prostrate when they were alive and they were healthy and they had all their faculties, but they didn't do it. Now it's too late. Now it's too late. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not allow that. Be patient though, O Prophet. Don't give up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him here that people will be like this. People will treat you like this. People will say some one thing and do the other. Okay? People will say, yeah, we believe, but they won't believe. Don't give up. فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. Wait patiently for your Lord's judgment. Don't be like the man who, having been swallowed by a whale, called out in distress. And this is Yunus alayhi salam. If it was not that his Lord's grace had been bestowed upon him, he would have been cast away in disgrace upon that desolate shore. But then his Lord chose him for his own and made him one of the righteous. The idea here is the Prophet of Allah, Yunus, made a mistake. He's not mentioned by name here, but he's referenced, and the reference is clear. And his mistake was he was hasty. He gave up too fast. He wasn't patient long enough. So Prophet of Allah, don't give up so fast. Be patient until your Lord has decided what he is going to do. And this is, again, in the very early parts, the second surah that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him to do this. And he's preparing him mentally. It's going to happen. He will call people. People will be fickle. People will do things that are irrational. People will say, yeah, we're with you, but they're not going to be with you. That's what happens in Medina. And then all these people will be exposed on the Day of Judgment. But your job, O Prophet, is to be patient and to call, because you are destined to be a prophet, just like the pen wrote all the destinies. And that's a beautiful message very early on to prepare the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The next surah that we have is Al-Haqqah. Malhaqqah. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَلْحَاقَّهُ. If you're reading this like with the tajweed, this is six harakas and six harakas and then six harakas. That's 18 harakas you're reading, you know, like 18 units of measure. Like that. So it's a long and a very beautiful introduction. There's an effect the sound has. The sound that is having an effect is that this is a serious matter. This is something. Stop in your tracks and pay attention to what's being read. That is one of the effects that these short ayat, and particularly the way they are structured, that they create. The sound, the tajweed of it, has a profound relationship to the meaning. Al-haqqa comes from the word haqq, which is the truth, which is the hour. The hour is the truth. The hour of truth. Al-haqqa. It's coming. Stop in your tracks And think about it. The theme of this juz, the hereafter, is imminent. It's imminent. It's the truth. First, Allah gives us a quick history lesson. Thamud and Aad, how they were destroyed. When they denied, they were destroyed by a furious wind. Aad was destroyed by a furious wind that stayed on them for 7 nights and 8 days, unleashed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so devastating that these people were left like hollow trunks of palm trees, and you see nothing left of them. Likewise, Fir'aun was destroyed, and the many other towns that were turned upside down, they all denied their messenger, defied the messenger of their Lord. Likewise, لما طغى الماء حملناكم في الجارية, the ark of Noah alayhi salam, how the water rose high, crossed all boundaries. And that was a reminder. All of these incidents in history is a reminder for the one. تذكرةً, it's a reminder for you. وَتَعِيَهَا أُذُنُ وَاعِيَةً, and an attentive ear or attentive ears could listen to this and retain this. The idea is the reminder of this history lesson that Allah provides again and again in the Quran, so that the one who's listening attentively and take some heed and change their course of their actions. And that is the point here. But then Allah goes and pivots to the Day of Judgment. What happens? How does it start? It's going to be a blast, نفخ في الصور, of a trumpet. And then it's going to be the earth and mountains are lifted up and crushed with a single blow. Earth is flattened. It's like all crevices and all mountains, all are gone. It's a flat earth at that point. And that day will be the great event, al-waqi'ah. The thing that's going to happen will happen on that day, either Day of Judgment. The sky will be rent asunder, وانشقت السماء, split. And at that time, it will be like a frail, it will be frail. And the angel will appear by its sides, and on the sides of the sky, that is. And then Allah's throne will be brought, and bearing it will be 8 angels. And then the judgment day will begin, and the angels will be in rows, and people are in rows, and Allah is there, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the judgment will start. And what happens on this judgment day? لا تخفى منكم خافية. None of your secrets will remain hidden. The people will be given, there's a group of people given the book in their right hand. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ. He will say, هَا أُمُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. Here is my record, read it. I knew I was going to meet this. I knew this day was coming. I knew this was going to happen. So I was preparing for it. And then because of that, he will be in a happy state. في عيشة راضية, in a lofty garden whose fruits are close. قطوف هدانية. And that's where the name of the institute that I run, قطوف, comes from. The fruits of Jannah are close. We try to make the fruits of Quran close to you. كُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا هَنِيئًا بِمَا أَسْلَفْتُمْ فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْخَالِيَةِ. We shall say to him, eat and drink joyfully as a reward for the good deeds that you have done in the days gone by. We ask Allah to make us of these people. And then on the flip side is the one whose book is in the left hand. He will be saying, oh my goodness, I wish I never saw this day. And I knew nothing of my accounting. I wish I could just forget all this. And I wish how my death was the end of me, that I never would be brought back to life. My money is of no use. My power and authority is gone. I have nothing. I am I'm just wrecked today. And it will be told, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ, seize him and shackle him. And then, you know, let him enter in the fire. In fact, صَلُّوهُ is to roast something. Roast him in the fire. And خُذُوهُ, that is a plural. So it's like Allah is telling a group of angels, they're going to come and seize this person, right? And imagine the terror on that day. The person who has now received their book in the left hand. They recognize now, they realize that it's all over. And their life's work is a waste. And now these angels are coming and they grab this person and they shackle him and then they toss him in the fire. It's a very, very, you know, humiliating punishment. ثُمَّ فِي سِلْسِلَةٍ ذَرْعُهَا سَبْعُونَ ذِرَاءً فَاسْلُكُوهُ. Fasten him with a chain of 70 cubits long. Like the length of it is to show the extent of Allah's a disgrace upon this person. Why is he in this situation? إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. He did not believe in the Almighty God, and he would not feed. He would not feel any urge to feed the needy. This man lived for himself. This is a person who lived for the dunya. They wanted to enjoy the material pleasures of the world, so they rejected the idea of believing in Allah, and they couldn't care less about the suffering of others. Just couldn't care less. They're suffering, let them pull them up by their own bootstraps. لا يحض على طعام المسكين. So today he has no friend. فليس له اليوم هاهنا حميم. Today this man has no friend and no food except filth. Subhanallah. We ask Allah's protection from such an evil end. It shows, by the way, that the believer, as you notice, should be focused on believing in Allah and doing good, and particularly doing the good of feeding people food. And this individual, the food is like, it's just like the basic necessity of life. This person couldn't even care if others didn't have enough. And that lack of empathy and that lack of feeling for your fellow human, that tells you about the lifestyle and the state of mind that this person lived by. And that is what Allah is highlighting here. And Allah, makes a point that that is a very, very evil way to live. We ask Allah's protection from that. Also, the Prophet is being told, you should invite, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. This is Qur'an, is the word of a noble messenger. He's not a poet, right? He's not a soothsayer. It's a revelation sent down from the Lord of the worlds. And if the Prophet dare invent any lies about us, we will seize him by the right hand and end his life. لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينَ. And no one would be able to help you. No one would be able to help him against us if that happened. The idea, this is all hypothetical, because law in Arabic is something hypothetical that hasn't happened and won't happen. Okay? That's what the word law is used for. So this is a hypothetical. It didn't happen and absolutely will never happen. But hypothetically, if it happened, that the Prophet was to fabricate something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not tolerate that, would not allow that. So this is something that he mentions about the invitation, that this is truly the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unadulterated, untouched by humans. And this is something to be taken seriously, because the day of judgment is the truth. It is imminent, al-haqqah. Surah al-Ma'arij, the next surah. From the same root comes my name, by the way, Arij. Ma'arij is the ascension. تَعَرُجُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ إِلَيْهِ فِي يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ خَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. By which the angels and the spirit will ascend to him in one day, which will last for 50,000 years. This is the day of judgment. And the ta'arujul malaika, the ruh is, the spirit is Jibreel. The ascension of them is where the surah gets its name. What is this surah about? It speaks about the hereafter, right? Firstly, it says to the Prophet, be patient. Fasbir sabran jameela. Be very beautiful with your patience. Right, in a very beautiful manner. Jameel is something that's beautiful. Your patience should make, it shouldn't be like, I'm being patient, okay? What else do you want? That's not real patience. Sabran jameelan is, you don't have to express that you're being patient. Your actions tell people that you're patient, and it's a very beautiful way of interacting with people. What is it about the Day of Judgment? إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا. They think that they see it as it's far off. وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. Well, we see it as nearby. It's close by. يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهُلِ. That day, when it does happen and it does come, تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهُلِ. The sky will be like molten brass. It will be like melting. What is happening on the Day of Judgment? وَتَقُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ. Like tufts of wool. The way the earth is normally, the way the laws of physics are normally, will be completely eradicated. What was solid will be destroyed and turned into like tufts of wool. What was, like a canopy that existed above us will be destroyed. and will turn into, will look like it's molten brass, will, you know, have cracks and will open up. It will be a day that is unlike any other day that has ever existed. And that's why it's the day of judgment. It's a day that lasts 50,000 years. It's a very, very, it's like the earth is no longer the same earth when that happens. And that's why all these things are described on the day of judgment that are completely, you know, impossible today, but on the day of judgment will be taking place and will be completely normal. And then no friend will ask about his friend. And people will, you know, gladly, they will, you know, be like, you know, I have nothing to do with you. If I need to save my life by ransoming you, meaning I can ransom you and you go to the fire hell and I'll be safe because of you going to the fire hell, I gladly do that, even though you were my friend and my wife, my brother, my family. I wouldn't care anymore on the day of judgment. That is what the surah is saying. The person wouldn't care anymore who goes to the fire of hell so they can be saved, whether it's their family, their wife, their kids, their friends. Nothing would matter to them. As long as I am saved, O Allah, I couldn't care less. That is what the Day of Judgment will do to the people. That's not how people normally act. People will like rather save their kids. If they have to like, you know, starve, they'll starve, but their kids will eat. They would provide for their families and they would suffer, right? That's how we are in the world, alhamdulillah. But on the Day of Judgment, exactly the opposite. That is what Allah is trying to highlight here. The Day of Judgment is going to be exactly the opposite of how normal days are. Normal behavior will be gone on that day. What happens on that day then? What is the people who are who rejected Allah will be in a raging blaze. إِنَّهَا لَظَى نَزَاعَةً لِلشَّوَى. It is this blaze. It's not just a fire. It's stripping away his skin and his flesh. Okay, it's like eating away at it. And it will تَدْعُو مَنْ أَدْبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى. It will, you know, call. It will, you know, call out to the one who rejected and ran away. So it's not just burning. It's torturing and it's taunting. وَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى. Who amassed wealth and hoarded it. You know, the one who rejected, turned away from faith, and then focused on just material pleasures and hoarding. Couldn't care less about the suffering of others. All they could care about is their own material enjoyment. So today, the fire of hell would strip them of their flesh, would taunt them as it's doing so. We ask Allah's protection from that. Also, on the other side is Allah says, well, humans are like this. They're impatient. When good happens, or bad happens, excuse me, they start lamenting. When good happens, they become miserly. They're like, I'll just keep this to myself. Or it's because of me that this happened. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. But not so the ones who are praying, the worshippers. This is what Iman can do to the person. Iman can make a human being the best of humanity. It can take away all the evil characteristics that a human can have. It has the power to eradicate that. It will make a person, the one who worships, steadfast in their prayer. The one who gives a due share to the one who is destitute, and the one who asks for help, the one who believes in the day of judgment. These are descriptions of the believers. The ones who are afraid and fearful of the punishment of their Lord, because the punishment of their Lord is not something to be taken lightly. They are the ones who preserve their chastity. You know, of course, that's whatever is permissible. That is something that they engage in. But those, you know, other than that, they don't have, you know, intimate relations with other, they only have intimate relations with their spouses. وَالَّذِينَهُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Those who are faithful to their trust and pledges, those who stand by their testimony, those who are steadfast on their prayers, they are the ones who will be honored in the gardens of bliss. We ask Allah to make us of these people. I mean, the comparison of the disbeliever who is, in this case, the one who just has only the concerns of acquiring material gains and only focus on, you know, just enjoying all the pleasures of the world. That, and that's a dangerous, that I would say a lot of the world is like that today. SubhanAllah. That is the mindset of the people today, of just hoarding and enjoying and, you know, amassing having a good time. Whereas, the Quran says the humans are supposed to be like at a higher level. They're supposed to be at a higher level, and what takes them at that higher level is the Iman. And we ask Allah to make us of these people. Next is the Surah Nuh. Surah Nuh is the next Surah. Surah Nuh is a Surah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Nuh alayhi salam, of course. Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi an anzir qawmaka min qabli an ya'tihum adabun alim. We send Noah forth to his people saying, warn your people from a grievous punishment. Now this is a very unique Surah, because here Nuh alayhi salam is describing, like in a dua to Allah, he's describing what happened, like his take on the matter. It's like he's speaking, it's from his point of view, alayhi salam. Okay, well, what happened? He said, oh people, I'm a warner to you, and you're supposed to worship Allah and follow me. That's the message of all the prophets, right? If you do so, he will forgive your sins and will allow you to live until it's time for you to die. Because when it's time to go, nothing can change that. He says, oh my Lord, I call them night and day, but my dua, my invitation only made these people worse. It didn't make things better, it made things worse. And every time I would call them, they would become more obstinate, more arrogant, further away from Islam than before I called them. I would do everything. I would do it openly. I would do it privately, in public. I would tell them what the religion is. Oh, ask forgiveness for your Lord. He is most forgiving. If you ask forgiveness, he will forgive your sins, but also in the world, he'll give you blessings, abundant rain, kids and wealth and gardens and waterways. He will give you the world and the next. Turn to him and ask for his forgiveness. But Oh Allah. And then I said, oh Allah, look at what Allah has made for you. How he's made the sky, the moon, the sun, the earth, this whole system of life. You know, he's made the earth spread out for you so you can, you know, cultivate it and walk it and utilize it. All these things, Allah, I gave them all examples that I could. But what happened? Innahum asawni. They disobeyed me, oh Allah. And they didn't follow me. They followed the one who made things worse, the chieftains, the leaders. Okay, and they said, we will never leave our deities. We will never, and the deities are mentioned here by name. We will never abandon them at all. They misguided people. وَلَا تَزِدَ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا ضَلَالًا. So now, Nuh alayhi salam says, oh Allah, they did this for so long, 950 years. So now, oh Allah, don't let them turn back. And that was the dua of Nuh alayhi salam against his people. And he says, مِمَّا خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا. Because they were drowned and sent to hell for their misdeeds. And they found no one to help them against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is actually Nuh alayhi salam's first person point of view, right? Of how he explained, oh Allah, I did everything I could. Now Allah, I want you to destroy them. لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا. Don't even leave a single one of these people on the earth. And that dua Allah had answered. But Nuh alayhi salam did not just do this right away. Like the first, he says he did it, exhausted every single possibility for as long as you can imagine. And then he made this dua at the end. Okay? And that is the story of Nuh alayhi salam. Also, what's the next surah is this, the jinn. So it's like the da'wah of the Prophet. So it's like the da'wah of Nuh and the da'wah of the Prophet. Nuh alayhi salam faced all these difficulties, barely had any followers. The Prophet salam had many followers, and followers he didn't even know were following him. Like the jinn. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ. It's been revealed to me that a band of jinn listened to the Qur'an and they said, we have heard a wonderful recital that guides to the right path. So now we believe in it, and we will not associate anyone with our Lord. And this is the story of the jinn that we covered before. This is actually a long passage that describes what these jinn are talking. These jinn are actually talking or explaining this. Oh, thank you. Jazakallah khair. Okay, I'll be away. These jinn are actually describing how they are, like what they heard, what they knew before, أن ظننا أن لن تقول الإنس والجن على الله كذبا. We didn't think humans and jinn will lie about God. But then how the Quran, like how they found people lying about Allah and how people, would make up stuff about Allah that's not true. And they would do things that are inappropriate, like seeking refuge with jinn in the past. So all these things this surah describes, but then of course they... وَنَّلَمَّا سَمِعْنَا الْهُدَىٰ أَمَنَّا بِهِ Right? It says that we have heard the call to guidance and we believed in it. So he who believes in his Lord has no fear of loss or injustice. So it's like the jinn are describing in first person what they experienced and how they found guidance in the Quran. It's a very beautiful surah. Also it says, وَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا The mosques are for God's worship. Do not invoke anybody else besides Allah in them. And then when the Prophet ﷺ stood up, أَنَّهُ قَامَ لَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ Here, God's servant here is the Prophet ﷺ. He stood up to pray to him. كَادُوا يَكُونُونَ عَلَيْهِ لِبَدًا They pressed close to him in great numbers, almost stifling him. What did they want to see? Because the Prophet ﷺ was praying and they're like, it's like squishing around him. Why? Because they wanted to see what dua the Prophet would make, because they wanted to learn from the Prophet's dua, and the Prophet made this beautiful dua. إِنَّمَا أَدْعُوا رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِهِ أَحَدًا I only call upon my Lord, and I don't associate anyone else with him. And this dua continues to the very end. It's a very beautiful surah that talks about unexpected support, unexpected wins that the Prophet will get. So don't lose hope as you invite others to the right path. Again, this is one of the themes of the surah. Now, invitation, da'wah to Allah. The next two surahs will speak about that, but in a very unique way. Al-Muzzammil and Al-Muddathir. They have the same beginning, very similar style. Ya ayyuha al-Muddathir, ya ayyuha, and Al-Muddathir, and then you have ya ayyuha al-Muzzammil. You see, it's like the same sentence structure. And Al-Muzzammil is a nickname that Allah has given the Prophet ﷺ here. And Al-Muddathir is the nickname also that Allah has given the Prophet ﷺ here. Both of this is the Prophet ﷺ. But now very interesting that Al-Muzzammil 73 speaks about spirituality. Spirituality before preaching. Practicing before preaching. Fixing your own house before you fix other people's houses. Fixing yourself before you try to fix other people. Getting your relationship with Allah in order before trying to fix other people's relationships with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spirituality. And what level of spirituality is it preaching? قُمْ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا Stand up to pray for much of the night. How much? نِصْفَهُ أَمِنْ قُسْ مِنْهُ قَلِيلًا Maybe half the night or a little less. أَوْ زِدْ عَلَيْهِ Or a little bit more. وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا Recite the Qur'an slowly and distinctly. SubhanAllah. That is how long the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. Half, a little bit more than the half, a little bit less than the half. That is how much spirituality was needed for the Prophet ﷺ to do his job. And that is the lesson for us. Because this is addressed to the Prophet, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُزَّمِّلِ Right? He's wrapped up in his cloak. That's the amount of spirituality that was required for him to do his job. Because إِنَّا سَنُلْكِ عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا This is going to be a hard thing, a heavy message that you have to bear. So get ready for it by connecting yourself to your Lord, by praying and praying at night. We ask Allah to give us the tawfiq to do this. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Al-Muddathir speaks about now preach, da'wah, invite. In fact, Al-Muddathir is not just someone who's wrapped in his cloak. It's somebody who's scared and he's kind of like in a comfort zone. So Allah says, Ya ayyuhal Muddathir, O you who is like in his comfort zone, Qum fa'anthir. Now get up and warn. Get out of your comfort zone and warn. Wa rabbaka fakabbir. Proclaim the glory of your Lord. Wa thiyabaka fatahir. Purify your garments. Like purify your outer, because your inner is purified by the worship of Allah that was described in the surah before. وَرُجْزَ فَهْجُرْ Leave all uncleanliness. وَلَا تَمْنُنْ تَسْتَكْثِرْ Don't bestow a favor expecting in return something or expecting something more. Favors or help should be provided just for the sake of providing. وَلِرَبِّكَ فَصْبِرْ. And for the sake of your Lord, be patient. It's a very beautiful thing. Spirituality before preaching, and then how do you preach? Both of those things are together, and both addressed directly to the Prophet ﷺ, to tell him how to do it, and also to give us an idea of what, where the bar was set for the Prophet ﷺ, so we can try to like also get to that level. Also in this surah is a very beautiful description of the hereafter. A very jarring actually description. Kalla wal qamar. No, by the moon. Wal layli idh adbar. And by the night when it departs. Wal subhi idha asfar. And by the dawn when it lightens. Innaha la ihda al kubar. Surely it is one of the gravest things. Nadhiran lil bashar. It is a warning to man. Liman sha'a minkum an yataqaddama aw yata'akhar. Alike to every one of you who wants to go forward or hang back. You want to accept? Accept. You don't want to accept? Don't accept. Live with the consequences of your choices. Because every soul is held in pledge against its own deeds. Every soul will have to pay for the consequences of their choices. Except those of the right hand. Ashab al-Yameen, you might remember from a couple of days ago. Ashab al-Yameen were the people of paradise. They are going to be in paradise. And this time they will be inquiring. يتساءلون. They will be asking عن المجرمين, about the sinners. ما سلككم في سقر. What brought you to the fire hell? A conversation between the people of Jannah and the people of hell. What brought you to the fire of hell? What happened? How'd you end up here? قالوا لم نكن من المصلين. These will say, the people of hellfire will say, we were not of those who prayed. وَلَمْ نَكُ نُطْعِمُ الْمِسْكِينَ. And we did not feed the poor. Again, worshipping Allah, serving the creation. Right? Serving the creation. So worshipping the creator, worshipping the creation. That is that those two things are that's the foundation of the believer's life. And when those two things are thrown away, that's the foundation of disbelief and kufr. Leaving, worshipping the creator, and having no regard for the creation, for the people, having no empathy for the people. وَكُنَّا نَخُوضُ مَعَ الْخَائِضِينَ. And we used to indulge in vain arguments along with those who indulged in them. Like we would waste our time. We would be distracted by the distractions of the world, by the pleasures of the world, by the drugs of the world. We were just busy with that, and that was our life. No regard for a purpose, no regard, no empathy for others. And then we didn't care about this resurrection business. We just thought this whole thing is our life. We'll just do whatever we want. Hatta atana al-yaqeen, until death came to us. And then it was too late. فَمَا تَنْفَعُهُمْ شَفَاعَةُ الشَّافِعِينَ. So this is what the ayah says, or the surah says, that everybody has a choice to make. You are free to choose. That's what the da'wah is. The da'wah is given, the preaching is provided, you're free to choose. By the end of the day, every soul is bound by the choices that it's made. And you see how the Quran constantly reminds, the thing that makes a person forget about the next life is the distractions, the pleasures, the consumption of the world and its entertainment and its endless distractions. Very, very dangerous, something we have to be very careful about, particularly now when there's distractions are even more, and they make a person even more heedless. We ask Allah's protection from that. Surah Al-Qiyamah is the next surah. Al-Qiyamah speaks about the Day of Judgment, but I put the theme as keep calm and read the Quran. Why would I say that? Because what's interesting here is, you notice, hereafter is discussed from ayah number 1 to 15, and then ayah 20 to the end. Okay, the hereafter, the Day of Judgment, and I swear by the soul that's self-reproaching. Do people think that we cannot resurrect them and bring their bones together? In fact, we can. And we can bring them to the very fingertips. And very interesting, because our fingertips are where our fingerprints are. That's where we give our, that's what defines our IDs, your fingerprints, right? It's unique. So ala an nusawwiya banana, Allah will make us like the indistinguishable. If a person has rotten away and their dust, Allah will recreate them to the point where it's indistinguishable to us, but Allah will recreate us so that it's completely distinguishable, completely unique, you know, the creation will rebound back into existence again, and nusawwi a banana, to the point where they can be uniquely identifiable. Subhanallah. This is the day of judgment, al-qiyamah. Allah mentions about that many interesting things that will happen. فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرِ, when the sight is confounded, the moon is eclipsed, the sun and moon are brought together, humans will say, how can I escape? Today there is no escape. On that day, only the place to go is to your Lord. In the middle of this, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ. Do not move your tongues in the middle or too fast in your attempt to learn this revelation. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمَعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ. Our responsibility is to see its collection and its recital. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ, then when we have recited it, you follow its words attentively. ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَ. It will be our responsibility for making the meaning clear. And then it goes back to كَلَّا بَلْ تُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِلَةَ وَتَذَرُونَ الْآخِرَةَ وَجُوهٍ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ. On some faces on that day will be radiant. Okay? Interesting. What is this tangent? This tangent is a very amazing tangent. In the, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a glimpse of how the Prophet was, this is a beginning, early revelation, the Prophet was struggling to keep up with, the Prophet was repeating the words as Jibreel alayhissalam was repeating or reading the Quran to him. So as Allah is explaining the surah, which is Surah Al-Qiyamah to him, he stops the main topic, which is Al-Qiyamah, and then goes to the tangent, addressing how the Prophet ﷺ is learning, and tells him, don't do this. Don't repeat the words before hearing them, or don't repeat them as you are hearing them. لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به. Don't be hasty. Don't think you'll forget. إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمَعَهُ وَقُرْآنَ. We will make sure that you won't forget it. We'll make sure that it is, you know, you have absorbed it. فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. Just listen and follow closely when it's being recited to you, and then Allah will make sure that you won't forget any of it. This is a very beautiful tangent because it tells us that as someone who's taking, like teaching someone, your responsibility is not just to deliver the content, but also to make sure that the learners are set up for success. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a very beautiful little tangent. It's a little glimpse of how Allah is taking care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, and supporting him so amazingly as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam needs support in every aspect. And that's for us a lesson that Allah is there to support us in all ways. He did that with his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He does that with us, and he here provides this tangent in a very beautiful way to explain to the Prophet ﷺ, this is the right way to do things, do that instead. Also, it provides a very beautiful scene, or a very interesting scene on the Day of Judgment. Very beautiful. Faces that are radiant on that day, looking at their Lord. إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ. We ask Allah to make us of those who will be looking at their Lord on the Day of Judgment. The surah concludes with Allah asking, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانِ. This human, do humans think that they will be left just by their own choices and their aid to have agency for themselves? أَلَمْ يَكُنْ نُطْفَةً مِنْ مَنِيٍّ يُمْنَى. Was he not once a drop of ejaculated sperm? You know, something completely worthless, maybe even embarrassing. Then he was something so insignificant, like a leech-like clot. And then Allah shaped him and fashioned him into due proportion. And then fashioning out of him the two sexes, you know, the same drop of sperm, and then at that point the clot, you don't know which gender is going to be until later, right? That's why the gender reveal happens later in the pregnancy. And how amazing, how two genders that are different physically, physiologically, but the source of it is the same, and the creator of them is the same. أَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يُحْيَى الْمَوْتَى. You don't think that the one who is able to do this is able to bring people back to life? You don't think that's possible? That's a very beautiful rhetorical question that Allah asks at the very end of Surah Qiyamah, that the hereafter 100% is real, and the resurrection is 100% real. Surah Insan is a glimpse of paradise. Okay, it talks about human beings, how humans were لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. There was a time where the human beings weren't even worthy of mentioning. They weren't even born. Okay, they weren't even in existence or conceived. So that humble origins should remind us to be humble and have humility. And Allah tells us that He created us and then He gave us a sabil, هَدَيْنَهُ السَّبِيلُ, showed us the way. Whether we will be thankful or ungrateful, you know, the choices are ours, but Allah has shown us the way. The one who chooses to be ungrateful and reject, there is a devastating punishment waiting for them in the hereafter. The one who has chosen guidance will drink from a righteous cup. And then they will drink from a spring that once they have drunk from it, they won't be thirsty again. And they are people who do all the good in this life. They keep their vows. They fear the day of judgment. They feed those who need to be fed, despite their love and despite their need for money and food. They feed the miskeen, the poor, the yatim, the orphan, the asir, the captive. Miskeen is empathy for the poor who has very little or nothing. Yatim is someone who is easily exploitable, but yet they don't exploit them. They take care of them. Asir is your enemy, the prisoner of war. You know, you should be like, you know, you have animosity. You were just fighting a battle. But no, this is a person who still takes care of the asir. That shows you how amazing the believer is supposed to be, that they take care of all people, whether they are easily exploitable or not, whether they are hateable or not. No, they take care of them. They provide them. And this, do this, إِنَّمَا نُطْعِبُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, for the sake of God alone. We seek neither recompense nor thanks from you. Okay? And then Allah describes how that Jannah is going to be for them. The Jannah that they'll get is they're reclining on couches, not feeling the heat of the sun, not the bitter biting cold. Right? It's this beautiful weather that they will be feeling. Shading branches of trees will come down. Clusters of fruit will be hanging low. ذُلِّلَتْ قُطُوفُهَا تَذْلِيلًا. It's easy. Not just that there's a lot of good there. Everything is easy and luxurious and as enjoyable as it can possibly be. There is vessels of silver, goblets of pure crystal will be passed around them. You know, the drink is amazing, but also the container is just as amazing, an expression of luxury. قوارير, gleaming silver goblets, which have been filled to the exact measure, you know, the perfect amount. And they're given to drink a cup that's flavored with ginger. Ginger, not the ginger of this world. You know, maybe you don't like ginger of the world, but this is a ginger of paradise. Zanjabila. Aynan, from a flowing spring called Salsabil. So this is a special drink from a special place in paradise. Salsabil is the name of that river. And it's the mixture of it is with this zanjabil to give us the idea that this is going to be something that is a very special drink, a drink of luxury and privilege. And everywhere you look, you see great bliss, the beautiful clothing that these people will be wearing, of fine silk and rich brocade, adorned with bracelets. And their Lord will give them a pure drink. And then He says, this is your reward. All of that was before was in third person. They. And now He says, this is your reward. Your endeavor is fully acknowledged, as if the scene has shifted from describing paradise to you reaching paradise. And you're now told by Allah, you're here and this is for you. And your good deeds and your life's work has been accepted. SubhanAllah. An amazing, amazing feeling. We ask Allah to give us that feeling and allow us to enter paradise. Also, the next passage talks about Quran. Then, inna nahnu nazzalna alayka al-Quran tanzila, i.e., the Quran is your way to Jannah. Last surah is Surah Al-Mursalat, which I'll just mention very briefly. It has this phrase that repeats very, very frequently in it. فَوَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ وَيْلٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Woe on that day to those who reject the truth, because the deniers are going to be there, O Prophet. You will invite, you will warn, you will talk about heaven and hell, but the deniers will be there and they won't embrace you. So expect that, and those who do so, they will have nothing but regret on that day. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the regret of the day of judgment, and from the regret of making wrong decisions. We ask Allah for His mercy and His paradise. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Jazakum Allahu khairan, everybody, for sticking around. Tomorrow, inshallah, will be our khatam, our last juz. I hope to see you there, inshallah ta'ala, along with our special guests. Same time, same place. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.